This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Tonight, we're going to be discussing some big news from Germany. We don't talk about what happens in Germany a whole lot, at least not what has recently happened in Germany a whole lot, because, you know, reasons. But anyway, we're going to be diving into the Tobias Riemann-Schneider scandal, which is something that people have known about. I've known about it since January, and evidently 3 months is the timeline on when this has happened. And this is a big development and a twist in Woke Wars 2. So Woke Wars 1 was, you know, is the church going to go woke for black people? Woke Wars 2 is the church going to go woke for Jews? So this is what's been called Woke Wars 2, and Tobias Riemann-Schneider played a major role in kicking off Woke Wars 2 into a more hot conflict. So that is the role that he played, and it was very big in just the damage that it did to the Reformed evangelicalism in the United States. So it started with an international struggle session of a member of his church for sharing in a group chat, not even publicly, but in a group chat, an offensive meme. So apparently not allowed to do that. You know, what's the point of memes if they're not overly offensive to some groups? Some might say. I mean, anyway. But that's what happened. And then he tried to struggle session Joel Webbin's church over that to pressure Joel Webbin into, you know, excommunicating or otherwise church disciplining a member for sharing a meme. So this is not something that's a clear-cut sin. This is something that's a sin to certain sensibilities. And I want you to keep that in mind. Like, he sinned against certain sensibilities, but not necessarily in abstraction, you know, what is clear-cut defined as a sin. And when we hear about church discipline, oftentimes, and Joel Webbin got in trouble for saying this, he did, like, recant or, you know, clarify post hoc his statement about the abuse of excommunication in general in the church, that men specifically are being excommunicated for, you know, being right wing, wrong think, and stuffing like that. But, you know, the turntables. Now, what Tobias Riemann-Schneider tried to do to someone else has now been done to him. So we're going to talk about this excommunication. We're going to watch his video and we're going to look at the church's response to his video. And, you know, we'll give some final thoughts at the end. But the other thing I need to mention is that throughout this whole thing, a lot of this happened undercover, and it was secretly recorded by, you know, the church member in question, which was a baller move, very smart to protect your bases like that. And then once that video was leaked, it was bad news for the baddies, because they were shown to be complete liars. And half of it was really a struggle session of Joel Webbin. And this was a coordinated effort by people like Doug Wilson, James White, and a few others to really take control of the Reform movement of Christian nationalism, and it did not work. It didn't work, and it is what it is. And now we have this development where Tobias has been kicked out of his own church. So, well, very curious, and begs a lot of questions. Why? Why was he kicked out? And for months, this has gone unanswered. But now we have answers from at least one side. And a few weeks ago, or maybe like last week, is the end of February, puts a, you know, being a short month, puts that a little skewed in my perspective on, you know, what was last week. He put out a video, a 15-minute long video, and it explains his side of the story in summarized detail. Like, he doesn't get into any documents or anything like that, but he does defend his side of the story. And then the church put out a much shorter statement in response to the video that doesn't really defend their side of the story. But I took the work to have this video translated and dubbed into English. So this is kind of like a more newscast, you know, a foreign video, and it's dubbed over in English. It's kind of going to be what we're going to be listening to tonight, because I couldn't just have it be German and just read it out loud. It'd just be weird. So I actually put in the effort for the production value here to make it more watchable. And that is what we're going to be responding to tonight. I am solo tonight because Anthony is sick. How dare he? Last week, he just didn't do the reading, but, you know, tonight, you know. Anyway, we're going to dive into this. I posted the video on X. I also posted it on Rumble, and you can follow Evangelical Dark Web on both of those. And here we go. We are going to be listening to it at normal speed because it's German. I wanted to have a voiceover that was a German accent, but they did not have those. That was not allowed. They did not allow the German accent on this, which, very disgraceful, if you ask me. I, you know, I'm not saying I wanted him to sound like Dolph, but, you know, it would have been funny. So, British accent it is.
Some people from my congregation have made an attempt to remove me from office, to forbid me to continue making videos or giving lectures, and to expel me and all those who oppose this action from the congregation. I waited 3 months before commenting on this, for two reasons. On the one hand, the board and I wanted to clarify the facts thoroughly and have all the necessary evidence together before we go public. On the other hand, I had the hope that maybe I didn't have to say much at all, because I didn't want to bring the sins of others to the public. Unfortunately, the other side has not shown the same decency, but is defamatory. And now that the first press inquiries have been received, I feel compelled to bring things to light. I have here a legal opinion from what is probably the most renowned Christian law firm in Germany, which has reviewed the events. The legal opinion states that the entire procedure is due to numerous and serious violations of the.
So, already, I gotta say, he's setting up the idea that he's being defamed and stuff like that. I gotta say, I do not care about the, I brought in this legal expert to say this. I mean, lawyers will say what they think. And I kind of think that, you know, judges are politicians, so it doesn't really matter the legal arguments. If they don't like you, if they don't like what you're about, it doesn't really matter. So I just thought that that was just a useless appeal to authority just up front. But maybe it translates better in German. It sounds better in German to a German audience. That appeal to authority would matter more. But and to the American audience, I don't think that appeals very much. And, you know, Tobias is actually a big deal in Germany. I do want to throw that out there. You think that he tried to make it in evangelicalism in the United States, and it did not work for him. But he did make it in Germany. He's a big deal, especially along the lines of, you know, the political right in Germany is a little bit more familiar with who Tobias is. So something to keep in mind.
We are not talking about formalities or legal subtleties here, but about massive violations of the law. And that doesn't even take into account the violations of God's commandments. But even if it was all lawless, null and void, what were the accusations against me? Why they tried to get rid of me and all those who stood by me? There were two in particular. On the one hand, it was against my service itself. When I was hired full-time 5 years ago, the board's condition was that a focus of my ministry should be external. So I started the Kyrios podcast, wrote the Frankfurt Declaration and other statements on Corona. Some may still remember.
Corona is a reference to COVID-19, by the way. I guess they just call it Corona in German. The Frankfurt Declaration was a good thing. That was pretty solid. I talked about it at the time. I did talk with one of the authors of it at the time, who I believe was in France, not Frankfurt, Germany. But yes, the Frankfurt Declaration was named after his church's location in Frankfurt, Germany. So he played a big role in that. And that is to be commended, which is why his subsequent actions were even more disappointing. So I was actually familiar with his work even before the whole fiasco where he went on Eschatology Matters, started a podcast to the American audience and slandered Joel Webbin. And, you know, actually, you know, again, that was just a mistake entirely, because he should have just owned Germany and been missiological there instead of trying to reach out to an American audience. He said that he was brought in, and part of the conditions of being brought in was to focus on, to have an external focus, an outreach focus. And he did that. He shouldn't have been doing that in the United States, but he was doing that. And he is going to claim, or is claiming, that him following their instructions is why they're unhappy with him. He's going to use the whole Abraham and Sarah argument, I guess, with Hagar and stuff. But he's not going to be invoking a Hagar covenant, but, you know, he's going to be using that type of logic. You wanted this.
Remember. Under the impression of a conversation with pastors in Canada, I then decided in November 22 to further expand my ministry. My goal was and still is to win Germany for Christ. In January 23, I presented the battle plan, a document in which I had written down how we could pursue this goal. Part of the battle plan was the founding of a Christian school, the founding of a publishing house, conferences, the fight for an end to abortion, and the creation of videos. If I had known how much anger, blasphemy, partisanship there would be just because of the school project, only by a few, but that was enough to contaminate many in the end. I was also reproached for the school project. I am even accused of embezzling donations for the school. What donations? The only person who ever donated anything to the school to cover the running costs was my own father. But above all, my ministry on social media and my gospel proclamation in political circles were a stumbling block for some in the congregation. I was accused of political activism, which was incompatible with the office of pastor. What exactly makes my ministry so incompatible with the ministry of pastor? I have spoken a few times at the invitation of the AfD. I would also speak at the invitation of the Greens or the Left.
You gotta love the nuance, because the translation's going like sentence by sentence or phrase by phrase, you know, piece by piece. So like some German sentences are significantly longer, which is why you have those gaps. Just a fun fact. That's why I wanted that German accent. So he talks about his political activism is going to be a cause of some discontent. And I gotta say, I do believe that. I absolutely believe that this was a cause of discontent within his church. And frankly, it's just all of what we see in the United States as well. And the idea that pastors can't be politically active, this is a very pietistic congregation. And I think that's something that's going to shine. Pietism is entrenched in German tradition, and it's had its moments of not being entrenched, but probably it's been super, super duper entrenched for the last, 80 years or so. So I think he's onto something there. And honestly, the only way he had a chance to, and maybe he still does, because I'm not rooting against Toby here. I'm not rooting against Tobias Riemenschneider, but if he were to be that guy, be politically active, be the German political pastor of the right, that would win a lot of people to Christ. I just think objectively, a lot of people would be won over to Christ if he were to assume that mantle, but his church does not want him to come close to assuming that mantle. When it first came out that Tobias was excommunicated, the rumor was, or not the rumor, it was like speculation that he put out this very based short criticizing the Jews. And he did that. And I gotta wonder, were people in his home church not happy about that because his social media presence was just brought up? That's what people were wondering, if he got excommunicated for that. Formally, the answer is no, but there is a sense in which that might have come up. So,
but I don't do party politics. I preach the gospel and stand up for an end to abortion, for the possibility of homeschooling, for Christian politics. I urge politicians to obey Christ the King in their official duties. In doing so, I stand in the tradition of many faithful men of God. In December, I was able to speak at the AfD's Christmas Gala in Magdeburg. One person who heard me there was Iris Aschenbrenner. What did she take away from my sermon? When I think that the children are taught that Jesus is born on the 24th, that he is also the, I gave a really great speech the other day from the pastor that it was our Savior. This is the core of my proclamation, that Jesus Christ is our Savior.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations, or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
That is supposed to be incompatible with the ministry of the pastor? Since when is the preaching of the gospel incompatible with the ministry of the pastor? Anyone who wants to forbid me to do this service and therefore dismiss me as a pastor hinders the proclamation of the gospel. As a servant of Christ, it is my duty to go and preach the gospel to all people, including those of the AfD, and to speak God's word in all areas of life. It was only later that I heard that some people probably claimed that I had neglected my duties in the community because of my political activism. Anyone can check this for themselves on the ERB YouTube channel. I had recently preached much more in the congregation than ever before, and I was usually the last to go home after the service because I had so many conversations.
So, let me just provide a big fact check. And part of the reason why I said that Tobias is actually a pretty big deal over in Germany is because I saw the ERB YouTube channel, and yes, it is a pretty good YouTube channel. Like, for a church pastor doing sermon uploads on YouTube or whatever, he was getting pretty good numbers in German. Like, they're not just English people. The comment section isn't English. It's German. He's getting his own countrymen to watch his stuff on YouTube. Like, and I don't know what, again, I don't know what the largest Christian YouTuber in Germany gets or whatever, but I, you know, just basic metrics, he was doing very good with long form content. Not, you know, especially with that channel that, you know, used people, big names like Vodi Bakum to get views and stuff like that. It has 26,000 views, 26.5, I guess. And the numbers were good on that channel. I was actually very shocked that this channel seems to have been doing very well in the German space, in the German evangelical space. So, yes, I can fact check. He was doing sermon uploads on that channel, and it was reaching people.
Blessed John MacArthur writes, I have to tell you, folks, it's a sad, sad thing, but it's rampant in the church. It's rampant today. There are people who are driven by resentment and envy. They want to discredit others who have a blessed position because it evokes envy in their sinful hearts. They preach the true gospel but have an unclean heart. They strive to be more prominent. They are angry that someone else is more successful than them, whether it be as an evangelist, author, pastor, teacher, and so they are the originators of rivalry. Another word for quarrel, conflict. They see themselves in competition with someone and become their slanderers. They want to win this battle by slandering it, accusing it, criticizing it, belittling it. Elsewhere, MacArthur says that this envy is often why people want to get rid of a pastor. I have nothing more to say about it. On the other hand, the accusations against me were about the way I took action against sin in the church. I was hard and unloving. These are difficult
So, charge one, I feel like, is very relatable. The idea that he was, you know, being a political activist, which is incompatible with his role as a pastor. I could definitely see the accusation that you're too political and therefore you're not loving enough, you're not focused on the gospel enough and stuff like that. You know, you want to destroy the Democrat Party and therefore, you know, you're not loving. And I could see a lot of Christians, including myself, falsely brought up on church discipline on charges like that. And, you know, that's just a sad situation that we find the church in. So I think the first charge is invalid. And then we have the second charge, which is going to be about harshness. But Tobias Riemenschneider has a very compelling reason. I don't know how true it is, but it is a compelling reason that he was accused of being harsh.
Accusations, because they attack the character and it is difficult to defend oneself against them, because they are mainly based on feelings. But nevertheless, I want to say something about it. If someone sins and is humble, then I have never reacted other than kindly, gently, mildly. But if someone sins arrogantly, is unrepentant, perhaps even endangers the well-being of the church, then I speak clear words. Why? Because Jesus and his apostles and his prophets did the same. In 9 years and thousands of conversations, I have also said a word that was too harsh, like any human being. And I said even more words that were too soft, where I was too indulgent. But I'm not aware of a single case where I acted in a way that was unbiblical. But many people in our woke culture can no longer bear it when they are clearly addressed about their sins. By the way, this is one of the main tasks of the pastor. The accusation that I have taken too harsh action against sin in the church is especially tragic because it shows that there is no insight into one's own spiritual condition. Because the spiritual condition of the congregation had deteriorated massively for about 2 years. A family that had moved to Frankfurt especially to support the ministry externally moved back after 2 years because they could no longer bear the ever-worsening blasphemy against me and my service. And more and worse sins came to light. It is no coincidence that I preached so clearly against pornography last August. And there was even a sin confessed that I, as a father, cannot even pronounce. One thing is clear, if I were to disclose what was going on in the community recently, no one would think that it could be dealt with too harshly.
So, Statistics Man makes a good joke about, you know, Germans always sound angry, though. But, you know, does that apply to each other? So, this is a very interesting point that he brings up. First of all, he called out sins, and he mentions pornography by name, and then says that there is another sin that was confessed in the congregation that was too bad to mention here. And, you know, as a father who committed a sin, which is a good indication that it was against a child or some, maybe his wife, but he said father. So I kind of think that the sin was against a child. So that, again, the fact is, you know, very severe sins are being brought up, or very worldly sins, you know, sins that could be someone's pet sin. Like pornography could be a lot of people's pet sin. And he brought it up, confronted it, preached against it. And then months later, this stuff starts brewing. And he said that there's some malcontents in his church that drove some people away. So there's a, you know, maybe it was a CP case. And, you know, that's what the comment section is saying. And I trust that comment section. So, yes. Yeah, this is clearly involving children.
Almost all the charges that were brought against me were based on a single church hour on October 25th, where I pointed out all these sins to the church and called them to repentance. I have the video of the church hour here. I also have the charges here. If necessary, we can go through everything, and I don't think that anyone will think I'm hard and unloving, but that everyone recognizes that there is a pastor speaking decisively against grievances in the church because he loves the church. Even though everything that was done was null and void, it was clear that we could not continue together and the church was divided. Our part of the congregation asked the other side for a peaceful separation. Unfortunately, they rejected this and threatened to expel us if we did not recognize everything that had happened as correct. Of course, we couldn't do that. We do not bow to injustice. Several brothers and sisters who had written a letter with 8 questions about the unbiblical and unconstitutional procedure were accused of incitement and division. And so the other part actually wanted to exclude us, because we were not prepared to call injustice right, but wanted to go our separate ways in peace. I also have that here in black and white. And on our side, this affected pastors, deacons, church planters, the elderly. It affected 6 of the 8 remaining founding members who had worked on the construction of the congregation for 10 or 12 years. This procedure also suffered from massive violations of the municipal constitution and applicable law and is also null and void. This is also confirmed by the legal opinion. Above all, however, it is an abuse of the sacred means of exclusion, which can only be used when someone has apostatized or has committed a sin so grave that it is tantamount to apostasy, such as adultery for which no penance is done. This is not a means of demonstration of power or personal revenge. How did the other part of the municipality come up with the idea of being able to exclude us? For one reason. Because they are more than us. Why are they more? Because they are right? No, because it takes sincerity and courage to see through manipulation and to stand up against injustice. It's easier to run along. This is exactly what Scripture warns against. Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil, and thou shalt not answer in a lawsuit by conforming to the multitude to pervert justice. 2. Moses 23, verse 2.
All right, we're going to pause right before he does the scripture reading. So, yeah, he's basically saying that the church ruled against him, so the church had some sort of court proceeding. They ruled against him. He says it was a majority. He blames the majority rule, for his demise in this context, instead, and says that he was outnumbered. And it does beg the question, like, what were the rules for excommunicating something? So he did not accept the judgment of this church, and he disputed the judgment. So the church is like, then we're gonna excommunicate you. So like, what is the basis for excommunication? And that's something that maybe, was it unanimous? Well, clearly not. So was it just a simple majority? Was there a super majority? And, it's just him and a few others, which is what I'm under the impression that he and some family, extended family or whatever, are forming this new church. So he's definitely making it seem like it was a more even split than it probably was. But I kind of have a hard time believing he didn't lose by at least a supermajority. Like, I have a hard time believing that this was a 60-40 disagreement, because how would you get an excommunication with a vote like that? I don't know.
Still have to address two rumors that are being spread by some. On the one hand, it is claimed that the missionary society Heartcry and its founder Paul Washer are behind the action against me and my church members. Heartcry contacted me about this, and after checking everything, they announced further investigations and consequences and gave me a letter from Paul Washer so that I could counter these rumors. It is important to me that the good reputation of Heartcry and Paul Washer, through which I came to faith, is not abused. Heartcry supports churches to spread the gospel. They do not usurp ecclesiastical authority and do not interfere in the internal affairs of congregations. I hope that those who spread this rumor and harmed not only me, but also Heartcry and Paul Washer, will repent of it. The other rumor is...
So on the first rumors that he gives, he says that he was accused of, you know, he said that Paul Washer was accused of trying to sow a thing, you know, sow discord in his church. And honestly, had not heard any rumor like that regarding the situation. I don't know if these were English rumors or German rumors, but he claims that Paul Washer has gone out of his way to, you know, dispel these rumors. You know, good on him if true. But again, that seemed very far-fetched because, you know, Paul Washer does not have that kind of reputation.
That we have embezzled funds. Here's what. First, the money is where it has always been. Secondly, I have another legal opinion from a renowned law firm that comes to the conclusion that a number of illegal and even criminal acts have indeed been committed. All from the other side. Thirdly, for me, a line has been crossed here. I am constantly slandered, but if I am accused of embezzlement or the board of directors, we have to consider taking action against it. What I have presented here is not simply my view. These are facts for which we have objective evidence, in black and white. That's why we waited 3 months until we had everything together. And others have also recognized this. Mario Cervenka, a pastor from...
Okay, first of all, he waited 3 months because now people are starting to wonder. Like, people have been starting to murmur since January, and now you're getting press inquiries. That's what you said in the beginning. I'm just saying. I'm just keeping track of what you said. So the embezzlement thing is also pretty interesting, because here's my understanding of the embezzlement rumor, which is that when he took his ball and went home, you know, church split style, he took the money with him. Like, maybe they got to keep the house, but he got the money in this divorce. And that is a little bit more black, or less black and white, as opposed to the way he framed the embezzlement charges in the beginning was, oh, I'm accused of taking the donations for the school. Well, the only person who ever donated to that was my dad. That's what he said in the beginning of this video. But now it is... Now he's being framed, you know, accused of embezzlement, which is a post hoc allegation. So it's after the fact he was accused of embezzlement. And that's one of the rumors that he wants to dispel. But is it embezzlement if you take the money in the divorce, not necessarily consensually, to start your new church? A little bit of a grayer area, if you ask me, to say the least, to put it extremely mildly. Another thing to bolster that part of the allegation is the fact that he took the channels and social media with him. And as far as I understand, he took the website with him too. So sounds to me like there's some credibility to this, because he was the one in control here. He had all the authorization and access to these things. So would not the money be the same situation? Is that embezzlement? I think legally you could say, but I don't know German law, and harder for me to judge. But it definitely seems shady. But that's not what he's addressing in this video.
Austria, who has known the ERB Frankfurt for many years and had friends on both sides, has taken a close look at all the events, talked to both sides what no one else has done so far, and assessed everything biblically. Here's what he writes. My conclusion is that Tobias has suffered considerable injustice in this matter. Spiritually, I classify the events as an attack on the work of the gospel, which is done through his ministry. I hope that those involved will find their way back to sobriety and focus their gaze together again on the proclamation of the gospel. I hope so too. What happens now? The ERB Frankfurt is divided and we have decided not to continue.
Once again, he kind of appealed to a friend of his. Like, he phoned a friend who investigated him and found no evidence of wrongdoing. That's kind of what he just did there with the Austrian pastor.
The name as a municipality. We want a new beginning. The new name, Christ Church Frankfurt. Our motto, Christ is King. We want to continue our ministry for Christ in the church and outside. All the brothers and sisters we need for our ministry are still with us. There will be sermons again, there will be videos again. ProReach Verlag is officially launched and new books are already in print. I am especially happy about my new co-pastor Paul Sayers, who is doing an excellent job. And I am happy that people are coming to faith and that we have already been able to baptize again and that more baptisms are pending. Our goal remains to win Germany for Christ. A few words at the end. What happened is very sad, but it shows us all people are sinners. All pastors are sinners. Every church is made up of sinners and is led by sinners. As Paul Washer said, there are no great men of God, but only weak, miserable, men of little faith of a great and merciful God. Our hope rests solely on our merciful God and our Savior Jesus Christ. People will disappoint us. Jesus never disappoints us. I hope that the slander will stop. I hope that I do not have to comment on these sad incidents again. I hope I don't have to bring more to light. I hope that I can now concentrate on the ministry again. I hope that peace will return. And I hope that Jesus will give healing and reconciliation where there is now rupture and sadness. To my former church members, I am always ready for talks and reconciliation. May God have mercy on all of us.
So it is part of German tradition that you don't get to be at your own negotiation. You know, as I understand it, going back to World War I there. And then this is the church's response. So it looks like he might not have taken the website after all. But this is translated, again, from English using web browser, not fancy AI like I did there. And it says, the committee recommends that the state party take all necessary measures to ensure that the children have access to adequate health care, including adequate access to health services and stuff like that, which is kind of a weird thing to put on here. But anyway, below that, it says, statement on the video, what happened, by Tobias Riemenschneider, in which he makes public his health account of the events surrounding his removal from office and excommunication. As a church, we have done with a clear conscience what we recognize as necessary and commanded before our holy Lord. We fear him more than humans, but we are not prepared to wage a public mudslinging match and argue in front of the world. We want to endure everything untrue and evil that is being claimed about us without publicly defending or justifying ourselves. We believe that being humiliated is good and healing for us. Our God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humiliate me some more, Daddy. I don't know. That sounds very masochistic. That sounds very cuck chair-esque. And this whole statement just reads like weak sauce. But anyway, I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. I'm going to let them finish. We expressly distance ourselves from any other public statements or comments on this topic and do not attempt to adopt their content. At the same time, we also ask everyone else refrain from disputes on the internet. We give heartfelt thanks for all intercessions and care and trust only in the eternal foundation of church, of the church, our faithful Lord Jesus Christ. And then they cite 1 Corinthians 4:5. So that is the German church responding to him. And I got to say, it's a weak sauce. It's an appeal to pietism, and their appeal to pietism, you know, only God is my judge, kind of makes it sound like they're a bunch of liberals because they didn't want to, you know, just say it truthfully. They can at least say, hey, we stand on business. We did what was right. Tobias is mad, but, you know, you don't even have to say it, but you can just say we stand on business. But instead, they're like, they are accused of sin, and I don't think that that's wise to just leave it like that, because I you know, and just be super pietistic about it. So to me, I think they made it look worse. They made Tobias's accusations seem very true, because what he was saying was that they hated political activism. And that is one of the charges that they brought up against him, is that they did not like the fact that he was becoming a political brand in Germany. And for them to come out with a pietistic statement affirms, lends credence to Tobias's accusations. So I did not think that was a good statement, not very wise, and it makes them look bad. And it certainly, you know, they at that point, they'd be better off saying nothing or just say, we stand on business. So I don't think that that was a good move. So I'll take some questions on this. Obviously, a lot of people in the chat love the way that the British AI pronounced baptize. The things you have to do. But that is why you should support Evangelical Dark Web, so we can, you know, get some AI video, AI translations of foreign videos, which is not exactly free, by the way. So anyway, I don't have that much more to say about this. I think this is an instance where I think Tobias, he is someone that should be an ally, but he has proven untrustworthy. And it's as much as I want to rush to defend him, because I do feel like he was most likely wronged in this, after hearing both sides and just understanding the context that, hey, he called out some pretty sensitive sin and they thought he was too harsh. Like, that's not the time to say that a pastor is too harsh when he calls out some egregious, most likely criminal sin that a father committed against a child. That is not the time to say that your pastor's being too harsh. And that seems to be what happened, along with the fact that they didn't like him becoming a political brand. And I think in Germany, one of the best means that you probably have to evangelize is to be a little bit more politically active, to be relevant, to speak to the needs of the people. And the German people, they got some needs. They are very much screwed at the moment, because the AfD party that Tobias Riemenschneider was a part of, they nominated a lesbian who eats foreign carpet to be their prime minister or president or chancellor or whatever their high office is. Like, that was on their national ticket. That party needs Jesus. And they're probably the most likely ripest harvest field for the message of the gospel. And I want Tobias to actually succeed in that, even despite the fact that what he did in the United States was disgraceful. His entry into the American foray was disgraceful, and was also a distraction from his overall mission and calling. So, hate to see that. Do not want to see the struggle sessions, the international struggle sessions. But at the same time, I feel for Tobias, because that level of accusation against him could be levied at a number of Christians. And you hate to see that. So those are my thoughts. I don't know how deep this story really is, but it is interesting, and no one else has really talked about it in this detail yet. So that's all I got for today. My name is Ray, it's the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. We also have a Patreon-like system that gives you bonus access to bonus content. I'm going to be doing more updates on my book probably behind the scenes, because I'm finding a lot of interesting things out. Like, I just pulled a thread, and a lot of interesting things come out in this book that I'm writing. A lot of it's Tim Keller. just, it be like that sometimes. But maybe I'll give some updates on that behind the scenes as well. This story, you know, started out as one of those behind the scenes updates. So you definitely want to subscribe to the Patreon-like system that we have that gives you bonus content, stuff like that. At least you can do is like and subscribe. But other than that, have a blessed day. Stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.